Welcome to Changing the Narrative.
The media likes to tell our stories for us, but we decided to change the narrative by telling our own stories. On this episode,
from fairy tales to feminism, a black girl in three acts.
This is a fairy tale by Jessica D'Amfippo.
Do I start?
Blue is a 14-year-old girl with curly, long, brown hair, hazel eyes, and she is mixed race. She lives in Los Angeles, and she's in 8th grade. She lives in a big house with her parents and her pet monkey, Maya. She has four best friends, Riley, Candy, Ben, and Apollo. Within her friend group, Blue is known to be a great writer. In their free time, they love to read her stories. Together, they love to surf, ride bikes, and watch movies. Their favorite hangout spot is the local frozen yogurt shop, Twisties. Blue loves to write and wants to pursue it as a career, but her parents don't know this.
Blue, I need you to get back to coding on your computer.
Mom, I'm tired. I've been coding all day long.
Blue, how are you going to follow the family's tradition if you are not putting in the time?
Dad, please tell Mom I need a break.
Listen to your mother.
The only person who knows Blue loves to write is her grandmother, and the rest of her family wants her to become a coder. Blue's grandmother married her grandfather, who was a great coder, and Blue only recently found out her grandmother's secret. Blue's grandmother is a best-selling novelist. She writes under the pen name The Unknown Author. And for the longest time, all of America has been trying to figure out who she is without any success. Blue's friends know that Blue's grandmother is the only person supporting her writing abilities. So one day, they hand Blue's stories into her grandmother.
Action.
Grandma Suzanne, it took a while, but we found the perfect book.
I see another potential in Blue.
You're the only one we could turn to.
Please, Grandma Susanna, your only hope.
Well, I'll see what I can do.
Thanks, Grandma Susanna.
After this encounter, Grandma approaches Blue with her stories and tells Blue her secret and that she's actually the unknown author.
Blue, I read one of your books.
Really? How?
Your friends gave me a book. I didn't know you were a writer.
Yeah, I am, but please don't tell anyone. I don't want them to be disappointed in me.
Oh, Blue. Blue, I need to tell you something.
What is it?
I'm the unknown author.
What?
Blue is shocked but inspired upon hearing this news and agrees to have her work published. After publication, her books are sold all over America, including her local bookstore. When her friends and family go to the store, they see her book. The first to spot her book are her friends.
Oh my god, Blue, isn't that your book?
I knew you were gonna be famous.
Shoot, I can't let my family see.
Why, you are a good writer. I know they will love it.
No, they won't. They want me to be a coder. Why did I agree?
Blue, it's your family. They will love you and support you on any decision you make.
You're right.
Of course we are.
I think we should catch up with the rest of the family, Blue.
Yeah, we should.
Blue and her friends return to where the family is stationed at the bookstore, right in front of where Blue's book is on display. Mom picks up a copy.
Blue, what is this?
When did you write this?
Mom, Dad, I need to tell you something. I love writing more than anything.
I thought you had wanted to be a coder like me.
Grandpa, I don't like coding. I want to be a writer like Grandma.
What? Grandma?
Yes, I am the unknown writer.
Grandma supported me and actually helped me publish my book. I didn't think I could come to you guys because I thought you only wanted me to be a coder.
Blue, we support you in anything you want to do.
We just want you to be happy.
We're so proud of you.
Blue is shocked by her family's support. Just because we're so focused on making her a coder, her novel becomes a national success. After all this, Blue's grandmother is inspired as well. She decides to publish her final book, Being the Unknown Author, and publishes it under her name, Suzanne Holmes. A few years later, Blue is all grown up and Suzanne has passed away. Blue decides to follow in her footsteps and pursue a successful career as a novelist.
Trying to graduate this year, trying to calculate my fear, new dream every day, changing like my clothes.
My name is Chastity Crane, I'm 17. This is The Girl Proceeds. Growing up in South Central as a young woman comes with a lot of expectations. When you're a little kid, you think everything on TV is real, even reality shows. The difference from you and people on TV is that their life is scripted and yours isn't.
All right, quiet on the set.
Background. In action.
Me growing up in South Central, I came up with a lot of challenges that people didn't think that would happen. I grew up with deaths, jealousy, friendships, and just being judged because of the color of my skin, basically. Every year, 1.3 U.S. high school students drop out of high school, with one quarter of females failing to graduate on time. Female dropouts are more likely to be unemployed or earn less than when they are employed. To become pregnant before the age of 20, to become a smoker or a drinker more than men. In TV shows or cartoons, you grow up to think that you have to be taken care of by the prince.
Good night, my handsome prince.
Or somebody saving you.
Are you all right, miss?
But you have to save yourself.
Hey, what's wrong with you girls? You're supposed to start crying when we hit you.
It takes a lot more than a couple of cheap shots to make us cry.
Yeah! Girls, thank you once again for saving the day.
I had a godchild when I was in middle school, and she got put in foster care because her mom and dad couldn't raise them because, thinking, we're like 13 years old. Who can raise a baby that young? And then I had gangbanger friends at that age. I had friends that died at that age. I also grew up with prostitute friends. Friends that's in jail forever. Like, they get out and then go right back. Just because I say that's what they are, that's not what makes them. They're, like, really intelligent. They still have a lot of goals for themselves. One of my friends, she's basically, she already has her AA degree in biology. And then my other friend, she's a hairstylist, and she has her own chair at a salon. So just because those names that you're being called, that doesn't make you. What makes me different from my other friends as strippers, nothing really. Like, to me, I don't really see nothing wrong with that, because it's like you're still getting money to provide for yourself. Things that models and people do that don't have clothes on already. The path I chose for my career, I want to become a baby doctor, a labor and delivery doctor, basically. And the people that does the scanning for your stomachs and tells, like, if you're having a boy, a girl, twins. It might sound crazy to you, but to me, it's like that little part of life is, like, really what brings the most out in people. The bundle of sunshine, something that can connect you to real life for this person. Not just for me, but for somebody else, too. I grew up like that because me and my mom both had a 50-50 chance of living because of her heart problem. My mom, she helped me make good decisions. My mom and my grannies. Because my mom, she taught us, you didn't see me do this, so why would you want to do this? You grew up around this, so why would you want to do that? I'm not a drinker, no smoker, no none of that, because my dad was like that. So it's like, I'm like, okay, I don't want to do that. That's not for me. So then when my granny knew how passionate I was in education, she was like, okay, you need to do this because I never got a chance at doing this because of the time frame I grew up in. I grew up with a single mom and three other siblings. My mom gave us everything new, like the new shoes, new cartoon backpacks, new everything. No matter what she had to do to get it, because she would work extra hours, like 22-hour shifts and all of that, just to get us what we wanted. When I was younger, people used to bully me because of what I had and tried to take it from me. I got to middle school with the mentality, I have to do this for myself, not for other people to like me. My best friend, I love her to the world and back, okay? I met her and I walked into the class and she was like, Chastity, I know that name. Like, you're that Chastity. And I was like, yeah, I'm that Chastity. Why? At first, I thought she wanted to fight me, but and we just connected after that. We went to George Washington Prep on 108th and Dinker. My brother and sisters, they was known at my high school. Because my sister, she was a vice president, then turned into the president, was the treasurer, then was on honor roll for valedictorian. Then my brother, he was the team captain. He was a quarterback, too. he was on the track team thing. And I'm like, I want to do something too, to be a part of the school. I want to be known too. I want to be not just like one person at the school. I want people to know me. I did dance all through middle school and elementary school. And then when I got to high school, I'm like, I don't want to do dance in high school because I'm not finna wear no short shorts. I'm not wearing that. Like, that's like, that wasn't for me. Because I knew, like, how I look. So I'm like, I'm not wearing that because that's too revealing for me. Like, I'm okay with that. I'm not doing that. I did cheer for 3 years. Like, it didn't really make me get out of my shell like that because it's like I was already out of my shell. I did cheer for 3 years. I wanted to do it my 9th grade year. But my mom was like, you need to focus on education. You need to focus on that first to then settle on to doing something else. But I still did other clubs while I was in 9th grade, like yearbook, journalism, film, theater. I did a lot of stuff. Yep. I was on cheer and dance team. That was me. Shake it to the E. Shake it to the West. That's how you did it. That's why I'm pretty loud, because that's why I'm like really confident, because like I was on a cheer team. I'm like, I know that's what I'm finna do.
All right, let's go. We got trips, right? Act 42, 989. On two, on two, on two. Ready? Go! All
right! That's my baby! Mama, she's the cheer mom. She came to every game, made sure everybody had a ride home, made sure everybody ate. She made sure all the football players was okay. Even though she got off work and was tired, she would still come out to support me. This is kind of funny, but my name was Mr. Goodbar.
Mr. Goodbar, please.
Lots of. And I was called Mr. Goodbar because I was the only one I got along with all the cheerleaders.
Shouldn't that be Ms. Goodbar?
Some people call my friend Crunch because, like, her weave was kind of crunchy. Yeah, and then, like... And then they named my other friend Laffy Taffy because she couldn't stop laughing all the time. They named my friend Skittles. She wanted that name. They named her Skittles because she's a lesbian. Okay. It's Rainbow. She was proud. And I said, okay. So she was like, I want to show that type of pride in my cheer. Why do I want to be known? To be more than just Chastity. To be known. Everybody should know who I am. That's what I feel. Because I'm important. I might not be important to you, but I'm important. So everybody should know me, even if you hate me.
The woman creates her own destiny. Coming out of high school, going into college, I had a lot of feelings of accomplishment and growth. There's still a lot of pressures to blend in or to play roles that society and other people have carved out for you, but you also have more responsibility for your future. So at the school that I go to, Loyola Marymount University, there was kind of a battle for me whether I could be my authentic self or not on campus. And sometimes you can feel that people perceive you as not being deserving of, you know, where you are, the classes that you're in, and that kind of seeps into how you perceive yourself. I originally enrolled at LMU as a psychology major because you could see a set career path after, or you could see like more educational goals after graduation. I really wanted to pursue a sociology degree. It's the study of social groups and like how they're formed, how they work once they're formed. Looking into how these social groups create inequalities and hierarchies and like who benefits from like what ideas about the world. There's a lot of career paths that you can pursue with sociology, and it's not totally clear what you would do after receiving an undergraduate degree in that. You know, you might not make that much money in the future, and there was also the fear of letting other people in my family down. I just decided that I was going to go ahead and try it, kind of pursuing that passion rather than pursuing what I thought would be safe. Growing up, I just saw the juxtaposition between like the two communities I was in. I didn't go to school in Inglewood, but I lived here and my family lives around here and we went to church here. So there's almost like two different lives where I'm here in Inglewood at my house. And then there's the other lives that you can see of friends that I have that, you know, live in like million-dollar houses on the strand of Manhattan Beach. And just like, I kind of saw the difference between the two, but didn't understand, I guess, when I was younger, how I guess that played out in the world. At first, it's like an embarrassing kind of thing where you're like, oh, like, I don't want you to drop me off in front of here so everyone can see how beat up the car is. It's like a self-worth thing where you're like, these people have more than me, like, I'm not as worthy as them. Also, just like projecting that onto my parents and my family, like questioning their life decisions. These people have more than us. What did you guys do wrong? What happened here? Like, why don't we have this? But I think that as I got older, I also realized that none of that matters. It was first like being embarrassed of my parents, but now it's more of a very high respect for them because I've seen the things that they've had to do to get me where I am. They had to kind of be the sacrifices for me and my sisters to have like what we have now or like have the opportunities that we have now. I guess me being in Inglewood, I was able to see that side of inequality and just like how people's actions aren't really individual in a way. They're like a result of like a lot of larger things. There's outside factors. And I also just had to get over the self-worth thing. What do I bring to the table? Who do I want to be? It's like hard work, I kind of think. That's when I started to like be interested in sociology and just like looking at inequality in a larger way. I think that one of the realizations that I had was like, there's not anything wrong with me. Like there's something wrong with the system or like the world. And I think that was one of the things that I just had to realize. Some people have that realization in college. It really is my world and I can kind of choose what I would like to include in it, what I would not like to include in it. If you listen to yourself, trust in your gut, and also just work really hard towards the goals that you want, that's where the joy and the fulfillment comes out of, not of, you know, trying to cram yourself into a box that society has built for you and ultimately creating your own fairy tale.
Look at yourself, look in your eyes. You gotta see it, you gotta feel it. Say, I am strong.
I am strong.
I am beautiful.
I am beautiful.
What are you?
Yes.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Someday, my prince will come.
Ain't got no f***ing doubts. I'll put my best, and then we put the route. Put the route. Sensei. Game rep sensei. Yeah. Sensei. Game rep sensei.
Now presenting the fairy tale plays. Featuring Avery Carter as Blue, Alina Walker, Marcus Pickens, and Carter Steele as the friends. Daniel Castillo as the pops.
Yeah!
Natalie Reddington as moms.
Your boy!
As your grandpa. Zeno, Betsy Folds, Myman as the grandma, and the monkey as himself.
Static, my I just had to catch it with graphics.
This podcast was a collaboration between the Social Justice Learning Institute and ConnectThePod.
Images that go along with this story can be found at ConnectThePod.com.
This podcast was recorded at the Social Justice Learning Institute
in Inglewood, California.
Changing the Narrative was funded in part by a generous grant from the California Arts Council.
Learn more at www.artsca.gov.
Thank you.
And thank you guys so much for listening.
So, the only thing I want to tell you guys today is that I'm beautiful and I'll always be beautiful.
I ain't sitting, barely starting, I ain't ending.
That's how it goes.
I ain't quitting,
yeah.
Life's been different, Stay committed, trying to see it in perspective. How we're sitting, how they feeling, how I'm living, questioning the realest.
questioning the rules.